No, it's the whole classroom. Oh, that's the software.
Did you have to miss one because of that?
Yeah, we were scheduled for 11.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you okay to go, or you want to wait for the others?
Whatever you want.
9:30.
It is. Good morning. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here. Before we gavel in, we have three pre-session special communications and observations, and so we're going to begin that process. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Dan Saltzman first.
Thank you, Mayor. On Monday, all flags of the City of Portland were lowered to half-staff in honor of Jacoby Phelps. On July 1st, while many of us were planning our July 4th weekends, Jacoby, who was only 29 days old, died from internal injuries suffered from his father's abuse. This is one of the worst cases of abuse that I've heard of. Lowering our flag is a tribute to his very short life. This will be the fifth time that we've lowered the city flags since last April to honor our children who die of abuse or homicidal violence. Jacoby is by far the youngest child we've honored. On June 9th, we honored 4-year-old Eldon J. Rebon Smith. On July 2009, we honored 17-year-old Fernando Chavez. In December of 2009, we honored 4-year-old Ashon Lorenzo Medina Barr. And then just last month, in July, we honored 17-year-old Billy Moore, who was shot while getting off a bus, a TriMet bus. Thank you, Mayor.
We could have a moment of silence. Thank you all. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. The next two items are celebratory in nature. The first is recognition of some outstanding work. Now, we have long known that we have the best city fleet that exists either in the public or private sector, but it has been recognized by it has been recognized by who? Who recognized this, John? John?
Oh, there he is.
Somebody wake up John.
He's exhausted from all his hard work.
Okay. So fleets from across the nation competed, and Government Fleet Magazine rated us the second best fleet in North America. And we are here today to thank each and every member of the fleet division. Literally keeps us moving, whether it's large infrastructure maintenance and construction vehicles to bicycles and everything in between. We want you to know how much we appreciate your good work. And it is absolutely fitting that you receive this recognition. So could you all please stand? Give them a round of applause, folks. I'd like to thank as well and recognize Jeff Baer, who's the Bureau Director, and Division Manager John Hunt, and have them please come forward to make a few brief comments.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, member of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Internal Business Services, and with me is John Hunt, who is our City Fleet manager. And as the mayor stated, we are really here this morning to recognize the public service efforts of City Fleet staff that have made it possible to achieve the second highest ranking for 2010 by the 100 Best Fleets in North America program. And as you can imagine, with over 38,000 public fleets within North America, placement as number two in the nation is a very noteworthy accomplishment and really sets the city fleet operation out as a national leader in running a best-in-class fleet operation. In fact, John has recently been receiving calls from other municipal fleet managers around the country asking about his operation so they can look at adopting similar best practices. And John and all the employees who are here this morning and those who are unable to make it and work for City Fleet should feel very proud of receiving this national recognition. And we really want to especially thank the City Council and the Mayor for your support and especially for providing an opportunity to come before you today to recognize this accomplishment. And I'll turn it over to John for some brief comments as well.
Yeah, hi, just real briefly, I wanted to mention that the program was originally put together by industry fleet experts looking at key ways that fleets could improve and improve their overall effectiveness and their efficiency in the job that they do, and also looking at setting a blueprint really for improving your excellence in the field to achieve your goals and also develop quality. Some of the categories that they look at are accountability. And with that, we're looking at our fleet availability and schedule versus unscheduled, our comeback rate, which I might add is less than 1% out of almost 25,000 work orders a year. That's not a bad rate to be at. They also look at our technology development.
What's a comeback rate?
That means that when we perform the work, whether that vehicle comes back for a rework or re-repair. So out of 25,000 work orders, we're looking at a less than 1% comeback ratio, and that's just outstanding in our industry, and a 95% or better fleet availability is outstanding as well. But the program looks at, again, technology, developing a high trust culture, looking at acknowledging the staff for the job that they do, collaborating with our customers and our staff, their creativity, the new ideas, new innovations they come up with, celebrating the work that we do, doing things right the first time, our turnaround time, our staff development, our resource stewardship, and our competitive pricing within our market that we work within. So, and we've talked a lot about that in the past. We're about 17% under our local market, so we're very proud of that. And we also recognize that this really is a City of Portland award, because there's a lot of things with new vehicles, new technologies that you enable us to do that puts us out there on the forefront. And we very much know that we couldn't do the job that we do without your help and support. So we thank you very much for that. And, of course, we thank Jeff as our director as well. So, again, couldn't be any prouder of a group to go from unranked, again, to number 78th to number 9. And then to be in 3 years in a row in the top five in the country, knowing that the competition is getting tougher and tougher and tougher, this is really a huge thing. So I just wanted you to know that, and I appreciate so much you acknowledging our staff here today.
You got it. Now let's see how fleet-footed everyone in fleet is. If that side would come up here and that side would come up here, we'll have a quick group photo. Everybody, come on. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Pretend you're firefighters.
Is this the group?
No.
See what happens.
There you go. Back row. Back row. Here we go. And just crowd in. Ready? All right, get in the front here. Yeah, there you go. You can get right in front of John. No problems. Come on, let's go, let's go. Get it right in front. Right in front. Keep going. Keep going. You gotta get right in front.
All right, everybody squeeze together. All right, there. Act surprised. Thank you. Congratulations. Really appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your work.
Number one.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're number one.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Send it to Dan. Next turn, number one. That's the spirit, Dan. Next turn, number one.
Who's who is number one? Yeah.
Don't disappoint
Sonia.
All right. I would now like to recognize Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. In the spirit of recognizing excellence today, we're in for a treat. We are joined today by national champions. And it's not often that national champions in elite sports come before us. But today we welcome the Eastside United Liverpool Red Boys U18 soccer team, which recently won a national championship. And so to honor that, we've asked them to come in. We're going to give them a proclamation, but we've asked some special guests to join us as well. So with the following people, please come forward. Merritt Paulson, the owner of the Portland Timbers, Drew Mihalik of the Oregon Sports Authority, Jim Rylett, director of Eastside United Boys Program, Mark Evans, who is one of the coaches of the Liverpool Red team, and there's a young man named Simon, and I apologize, I didn't get the last name.
Harris.
Pardon me?
Harris.
Simon, would you please come forward? Simon is one of the outstanding players. If you guys could grab a seat.
There's one behind you, Drew.
Oh, thanks.
So,
go ahead and have a seat.
Mayor and colleagues, it's a great time for soccer here in Portland. As we know, the city is working to bring high-quality sports facilities to youth around the city with projects planned for Buckman Field, Roosevelt High School, and Park Rose High School. This summer, tens of thousands of people jammed Director Park and Pioneer Courthouse Square to watch World Cup live. Local college teams are winning national championships, including the University of Portland Pilots. The Portland area is home to two great corporate champions, Nike and Adidas, global leaders in sports equipment, and fantastic partners with the city in youth sports. I heard a rumor that Major League Soccer is on its way in 2011 as the Timbers join the league. Today we celebrate another milestone as we recognize the national champions of Eastside United's Liverpool Red. We in Portland are very proud of our reputation as Soccer City USA, and the remarkable young men of this team have only helped burnish our credentials. So congratulations, welcome, and Drew, would you please kick us off?
Sure. On behalf of the Oregon Sports Authority, we're very proud to congratulate our local soccer team on winning a national championship. It's a huge deal. Your timing is impeccable, given that MLS is coming to Portland next year. To win a national championship is really what we would think is just the great launch of the continuation of Soccer City USA. We've got a long tradition of soccer here. Part of our mission is to market the city of Portland as a world-class sports destination. And with the moniker Soccer City USA, this young team has done everything it could possibly imagine to really give us that stature, and we'll be proud to brag about that on your behalf to whoever we try to recruit in the sports business to this city. So once again, we're very proud of you. You deserve the highest congratulations, and thank you for having us here.
Thank you, Drew. Mr. Paulson?
Thank you. I haven't sat in this chair in a while. I want to start
questions for you later. we'll start with the friendly
How
part.
Much money? How much yeah. money? I want to start by congratulating Jim, Coach Evans, and all these guys. You know, when people think of Soccer City USA, often the Timbers is the first thing that comes to mind. But really what's going on in youth participation, youth development, you know, that has as much to do with that moniker as anything else. And in this team and these guys embody that. You know, a national championship is absolutely terrific. Our success at the highest level of soccer is really predicated on local development. This is absolutely terrific. I also want to quickly thank the city, all of you commissioners, and you, Commissioner Fish, in your capacity overseeing parks and your partnership with the Timbers in creating soccer fields for the local kids in this area. Our organization is committed in every way, shape, and form to local youth soccer.
Mayor, thank you, and thank you for the $50,000 you donated this past year to Park Rose High School, so that they could finish their fundraising and ultimately build the first soccer field on their campus. So thank you for your commitment. Simon, welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. All you guys have mentioned how proud you are of us, but I think I can speak for the whole team in saying that we're proud to represent Portland and proud to represent Oregon. So thank you for having us here. It's an honor for us as well.
And Simon, I also just want to acknowledge, looking at the website, that I was looking at the schools that many of the players are going to be going to, and it's interesting that there are young men on the team going to the University of Portland, to other Oregon schools, to soccer powerhouses in the state of Washington, and the state of California. So we'll be watching your continued development in the future years, and congratulations.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Is this Mr. Rylett?
No,
I'm sorry, Mr. Evans.
Yeah, this is Bill Bateman, one of the other coaches.
Okay.
I'm filling in here for
Mark. I knew I was going to get it right one day. Thank you, Coach. Welcome.
Just want to thank the council for bringing the boys in and providing this honor for them. They've worked very hard to achieve this and get to this point. This is a goal that they set out early in the year to get to regionals and to win regionals, which is a huge accomplishment in itself. Region 4 is a very difficult region to come out of. And then to go back to nationals, lost their first game, and then won 3 straight, I think showed a lot of courage and a lot of just grit that they were going to get there in the end. So thank you for recognizing.
Thank you, Coach. And I thank you for also noting that the path to a national championship includes winning a state championship. And we are a very competitive state with lots of high-quality club teams. Then a regional championship, which is an enormous undertaking and achievement. And then a national championship, and it doesn't happen very often. The last time it happened is in 1994, and 16 years later, this group of players honors our state with yet another national championship. So congratulations. Mr. Rylett, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks to the city council, to the boys for the great job, but Bill Bateman and Mark Evans, on behalf of Eastside, have put a lot of time and sacrifice to coaching this team, and we are so very proud of what they've done, the boys, but recognition to Bill and Mark really truly has to go, because Gresham's a tough place to coach in December when it's windy and cold, and they've done a great job, and so we're real proud of them all, and thank you to the city council for showing that support, because I did win the 94 one, and we didn't get to come and see the city council, so I thank you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim. And we're going to get a picture in a second with the council, but I also would acknowledge that Eastside is also known for outstanding women's teams. And the U-17 girls team this past year won the state championship, which was disappointing in my household because my daughter plays for FC Portland Green, which lost to a very outstanding Eastside team. But obviously, you're producing champions among boys and girls soccer, and we really thank you for what you do.
Commissioner Fish, as a soccer parent, you're being modest and rightfully giving the young men the tribute, but I want to give a shout-out to the soccer moms and dads who did a lot of schlepping, especially starting in kindergarten and before, to get kids to practice and to help them with homework and get food on the table. So I want to recognize the parents and the rest of the community that is really part of this team and thank the young men for shining for us in the national championship.
So let's have a quick picture, see if you can move faster than Fleet.
Right. Go ahead and do a second row. There you go.
Here's a signed proclamation by our mayor declaring today a day of recognition for the Eastside United Liverpool Red, and this is recorded in the district, so congratulations.
Congratulations. And you are welcome to stay and see local democracy happen, but we will not be offended if you leave either. So you don't have to stay. Smart man, smart man. Now there's leadership. He was out of the chair in a split second. All right, Carla, we will begin the official part of our gathering. If you could please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. It is Wednesday, August 4th, 2011. We're in 9:30 session. Can you please read the communications item number 1102?
Request of Ulysses Hardiman to address council regarding how can council be meaningfully communicated with.
Mr. Hardiman? All right. Can you please read the communications item 1103?
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding Healthy Kids Initiative.
Mr. Wilkins, please come forward. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name, no address, and if you're representing an organization by way of lobbying, please disclose that.
My name is Shedrick J. Wilkins, and my telephone number is 503-777-9923.
We don't need your phone number.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But we do need to get you closer to the mic. Yeah, yeah.
I am for the Healthy Kids Initiative because 3 years ago, my daughter Amanda Wilkins was on television for Measure 50. And for a 10-year-old girl to be on Oregon television was very flattering. Well, it failed, but I understand the legislature plus the Obama administration is by this, in probably around right now, going to get 95% of all children covered. Now, I understand the other 5% of the children are basically undocumented aliens, legal aliens, right? I'm here to say that I see some sort of backlash next year from this. I think health care for children should be a right, R-I-G-H-T. I think that if my daughter, Amanda, it is a true story, if she hadn't had an early diagnosis for bladder cancer, she would have died. And that's why she got on TV. Now, the method of doing that, a cigarette tax is very controversial, went down. The Obama administration just expanded S-CHIP with some sort of cigarette tax plus an income tax. And Oregon has some invisible insurance tax. But again, there's this 5% problem. Now, I really don't think Portland's going to do too good internationally if we start turning away children just because we don't know if they're U.S. residents or not. And I predict this will happen. And I want to be on it. And I really think that in Oregon, we should set a precedent to get all children have the right to health care. And there should be some petty reason why they get turned away from a doctor, or it's considered charity, or a way to appease a Medicaid, okay, which there is no right here. An HMO can turn a child away. It just doesn't look good. So that's all I want to say. And I see next year this will be a problem. And again, people will say, Portland even shouldn't even do this. There's only 5 states that plan to cover all children, only 5. Oregon, California, Michigan, and Florida, and a few other ones that I don't know. They're on the internet. Also, the TriMet bus depots and other things do have Healthy Kids, and they're promoting it. So is the Oregon Health Department. So it's pushed out there. In fact, my daughter now sees the fact that it says, are your kids insured? So it's coming, and there's going to be this 5% kids getting turned away because they don't have a citizenship card. All right. Thanks, Al.
Mr. Wilkins, thank you for coming in and for caring about all Oregon's children. Sarah Hussein of my staff.
If I'm emotional, my daughter could have died.
Well, Sarah Hussein of my staff is over here, and she can give you some more information, but I want everybody to know that there is money in what the Oregon legislature passed last year for all children, so that there are, that even undocumented children can get some health care, and also that people need to sign up their kids to get the insurance that was passed by Oregon. So I appreciate your highlighting the campaign on TriMet and elsewhere. And if folks who are watching at home want to know how to get their kids signed up, they can go to my website, and there's information on how to do that.
Well, let's make sure it works.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Can you please read the title for communications item number 1104?
Request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding protecting one of Portland's greatest assets.
Welcome back, Mr. Long.
Good morning. My name is Charles Long. Imagine a city, our city, bereft of trees. I pondered that thought as I came across an inspiring poem by Joyce Kilmer, titled simply Trees. Fortunately, Portland is not the city, not only the city of roses, but also the city of trees, literally hundreds of thousands of them. We uniquely have an urban forest, fine forested parks, and neighborhoods where ambience is more like parks than residential areas in their charm, such as Alameda, Irvington, Wilshire, and Laurelhurst, to name a few. In recent decades, our city fathers and mothers had the foresight to have trees planted in our downtown core along gritty boulevards such as MLK on the Inner East Side, where a median strip has trees a foot thick soaring in the air. Trees have not only an aesthetic value, but environmental and economic value as well. Trees purify the air, provide a sound buffer, absorb precipitation, provide natural air conditioning, an umbrella from sun and rain, and habitat for nature's little creatures, produce from fruit trees, and enhance value to the property owner. Trees have been in the news lately. The City Club issued a major report concerning the need to protect and preserve Forest Park. Commissioner Nick Fish is pondering when and if the council should submit to voters a levy to expand our park system. An unlicensed arborist butchered trees, and an errant youth felled stately firs along Highway 26 toward Mount Hood. This Sunday, August 8th, at 11 a.m., the First Baptist Church will hold its third annual worship service under a canopy of trees on Southwest Taylor Street between 11th and 12th Avenues, a block west of Central Library, adjacent to the church's 19th century edifice. As Joyce Kilmer wrote, "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree where a hungry mouth is pressed against earth's sweet flowing breast, a tree that looks to God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that in summer wears a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow is lain, who instinctively lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Long. Appreciate it. We have two time certains, one at 9:30 and one at 9:45, and we're running a little late. Andrew, how many people, do you have citizens to testify for the LID? How many of you are here for the LID? Two? Okay. Carla, can you please read resolution?
Do you want to do the consent agenda first?
Yes. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? We just lost our third. So, no, we will wait on the consent agenda. Can you please read the title for time certain item, resolution item number 1105?
declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements from Northeast 76th Avenue to Northeast 79th Avenue in the Northeast Alberta Street Phase 1 Local Improvement District.
Mr. Abbey.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. I have a presentation this morning. I'll run through it quickly. Carla, if we could switch to the presentation. This is an overview map of the area of the project. This project would improve Northeast Alberta Street between Northeast 76th Avenue and Northeast 79th Avenue in the Coley neighborhood. The portion of the street that would be improved, Northeast Alberta Street, is on the 2030 bike network. And this would be the start of the connection from Northeast 82nd Avenue to Northeast Coley Boulevard. The Bureau of Transportation is currently constructing a cycle track on Northeast Coley Boulevard. So we do expect there to be a need for more east-west bike connections in the area, and this will start the connection. In terms of project scope as petitioned, we have 79.7% petition support, total support for the project from two property owners, with one property owner himself having the majority of petition support for the street. I will be proposing a substitute resolution that would construct street improvements mostly only on the north side of the street, with future street improvements on the south side to occur upon redevelopment. This is a map of the LID. You can see there are three very large parcels on the north side of the street. None of those parcels would have access to Alberta Street in terms of driveways. This would complete what in the future would be a required frontage improvement of the precondition of development. This is just a closer in view of the map of the three large properties on the north side of the street and a variety of residential properties on the south side of the street. The properties shaded in blue did not tender their petition support in favor of the project. We did have one petition in favor from the green property on the south side, and we would build frontage improvements along that property. If the substitute resolution is adopted, the LID boundary would be extended east to 82nd Avenue, and we would be building some frontage improvements on the east end of Alberta just prior to 82nd, where we'd build a sidewalk that would connect to some sidewalk we're building this summer as part of the sidewalk infill project. And this, again, is a closer in view of the properties that tendered their petition support. Here's a picture of Northeast Alberta Street today during the daytime. You can see pedestrians are using it. It's the first east-west street in a quarter-mile distance north of Prescott. This is the same street at night, and that's not street lighting that you're seeing showing on the street. Those are actually just my car headlights. And then this is Sacagawea Park at the west end of the stretch of Alberta Street. And this project would provide a paved street connection all the way from 82nd Avenue to Sacagawea Park at no cost to Parks and Recreation. So that concludes my presentation. I also wanted to hand out a memo from the Fire Bureau. They are supportive of this project because it does provide an improved east-west connection for emergency response in the area, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioner Fritz.
Why wouldn't the large properties have access via Northeast Alberta? How do we know that when the large properties to the north develop that they wouldn't need access? Or
was your question why the properties on the north wouldn't have access to the street?
Yeah, because you said that in your presentation, that the larger industrially zone or employment zone properties wouldn't access the street.
I think it has to do with the zoning, Commissioner Fritz. The zoning on the south side of the street is primarily residential. The zoning on the north side, I'm trying to remember exactly what the zoning is. There are two different zoning overlays on the north side of the street. Those properties would have access from Killingsworth Street to the north in lieu of Alberta Street to the south. I do know that the neighborhood was concerned about a large development going on the north side of the street and then dumping traffic onto Alberta Street and the north-south streets in the area.
That's what I'm wondering, because I think they're EG zoned. I'm not exactly sure what kind of development's allowed on EG, but it would seem like it's a big enough property that you would maybe want to access.
Yeah, and that was something the Bureau of Planning came up with. What I'd be happy to do if the council passes this resolution today, I'd be happy in the meantime to follow up with the Bureau of Planning and maybe bring back some more information for the LID formation hearing. This approval of this project doesn't really affect that. I mean, if for sake of argument, council wanted to provide access to the properties on the north, it would be easy enough to accommodate that during the design process. I'm not necessarily recommending it, but again, I could certainly follow up with planning and provide that information at the LID formation hearing.
Okay, because that was one of the questions that I didn't feel was entirely answered as to whether the large properties would be required to do this anyway as part of any future development plan.
Oh, just to be clear, Commissioner Fritz, the properties on the north are required to do frontage improvements even though they don't have access. So even if that were to change and they were to have access, they still have that requirement to build the frontage on the north side of the street.
So what's the advantage of doing it now rather than waiting for that?
Well, I think there's several advantages. Number one, we have an existing park that's being used at 76 in Alberta. It provides a paved connection all the way to the park, provides a sidewalk to the park. TriMet's most frequent bus route operates on 82nd Avenue. A lot of on and off transit traffic there provides a sidewalk connection for pedestrians who are getting from the bus to the neighborhood. I think most importantly, if we didn't build this project, then if redevelopment occurred on the south side of the street, most likely the Bureau of Transportation would just have to collect waivers of remonstrance, and then we would be talking about essentially the same LID in the future. This way, we get the project built on the north side of the street, the neighborhood immediately benefits from it, and then as redevelopment occurs on the south side of the street, all those folks have to do is build their 8 feet of pavement, put in their curb and sidewalk, and then the street gets done. So it really sets the stage for building out the street in a much more efficient manner in the future.
Thank you. And just to clarify for the public, is there any city subsidy in this LID?
There's a small subsidy. The Bureau of Transportation is absorbing overhead costs on the project to try to make the project a little bit more affordable and recognizing that we have multiple property owners participating in the LID.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? All right, let's go to public testimony.
We have five people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Angela Southwick, Alberta Street LLC, and Stephen Yett.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. You only need to give us your first and last name. If you're lobbying on behalf of a business or an organization, please disclose that. That clock in front of you will help count down your 3 minutes. So please begin.
Good morning. My name is Angela Southwick, and my husband and I own property on the south side of Alberta Street at 77th Avenue. This is connected to this LID proposal. From my understanding, you're being proposed with two options today: to pave the north and south side of Alberta for several blocks, or to pave only the north side of Alberta for the same distance. Being presented with these two options only, I would favor paving only the north side of the street. The cost of paving the south side of Alberta would be a 40% increase to my housing costs for our 704 square foot house. This is unaffordable for my household. For the question before you today, I would urge you to either vote no on the entire project or to vote. If you vote yes, I would have and encourage you to vote yes on the north side improvement only. These financial issues extend beyond paving the street. There are 61 miles of street in Portland that are currently unmaintained by the city because they do not meet current city standards. The most compelling reasons to improve these streets are for public benefits, like Andrew mentioned, the bike connections and fire access. After your vote today on the Alberta LID, I plan to review some alternative funding recommendations that were already provided to the City of Portland through a previous public process, and I would encourage all of you to do the same. Public funding should be required when promoting public benefits. It really does affect the entire community and not just individual property owners abutting the street. I'm actually interested in working with the city to improve the funding mechanisms for upgrading our entire transportation system, so I'd be happy to meet with anybody afterwards and have discussions beyond just this LID proposal. Thank you.
So I would be very interested in following up with you as well.
Thank you.
I'm the Transportation Commissioner.
Yeah.
Thanks for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Hi, welcome. Hey.
My name is Brent Beal, and I represent Alberta Street LLC. We're at 7945 Northeast Alberta. We're probably the largest commercial property in this block. And what I was here today is to try to confirm that there will be no financial responsibility from 79th to 82nd. With this current business climate, I've already had to lower rents to my tenants. We represent three businesses that work out of our property. And we just cannot afford anything at this time to support this project. So we oppose anything. And then in the future, I guess we understand if we were to make improvements to our property, we'd be responsible for some sort of sidewalk improvement. It's been my experience in other properties. And I don't know if there's a dollar value that you use to, you know, at what point do we have to improve our frontage? But so other than that, so as part of Alberta Street LLC, pay $14,000 a year in taxes, we oppose any financial impact on our business. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome back.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Yett. The question has been raised, why do this project at all? And since I'm the major reason that we're discussing this today, I would like to try to answer that. It's true, there is nothing currently in the works for developing the properties, my properties, affected by the street improvement. However, I feel that this is a foundation stone for not only my property, but a section of the Cully neighborhood. And as time goes on, I think people will be able to see the benefits when the street, or if the street is improved. To me, the LID represents an investment in my property with the city, and it's also a financial vehicle to allow me to start the process of developing without accumulating a large financial burden immediately. And being on both sides of the LID process, I think that it's a good vehicle. I think that working with Andrew Abbey has been very pleasant in my experience. And I would like to see people use this type of vehicle to improve their streets. Thank you.
When did you initiate the conversations with Andrew? And for background, the LID process automatically comes to council when there's a certain percentage of property owners who have agreed to pursue an LID. When did you start the conversation?
I first talked to Andrew about 3-4 years ago in regards to Alberta Street, and his inquiry to me is do we use Alberta Street, and is there some way that we could mitigate the roughness of the street? In fact, we currently do not use that. Some of the properties are blocked currently from access onto Alberta Street. But I did send a crew over to smooth up the street, believe it or not. It was smoother at one time. And we started talking about the LID process. So,
is there a reason, I think these are obvious questions, and you started this when times were much better and times are much tougher now for folks. Is there a reason why it couldn't wait?
Yes. No, there probably isn't a reason why it couldn't wait. However, I will point out that construction costs currently are very low. I don't know what's going to be available if we wait years down the road to do this. I guess I'm an internal optimist that the economy will eventually improve to the point that people will be interested in that section of Cully in doing something.
So my suggestion is to wait, but I also, by way of saying waiting, not years, but I would like to wait. For those of you that are property owners, the half the street, the gutter system, stormwater system, the curb and the sidewalk throughout most of the city, with some exceptions, but through most of the city have been paid for by the adjacent property owners. So it is, you know, the folks that live in Buckman or, you know, my neighborhood in Kenton, all those, when those houses were built, they were built as part of the city, inside the city, and the developers were required to pay for much of the infrastructure. Unfortunately, there's a lot of this, what is now in the city, that was urbanized when it was unincorporated, and the developers were not required to put it in. So we will have to, at some point, charge. So thank you for your testimony. We'll talk more about the details with Andrew.
If the mayor feels that we should wait, I'm not opposed to postponing a decision.
Okay.
For further discussion.
Could I just ask a question?
We're going to take other testimony.
Oh. I just wanted to ask Mr. Yet a question, because it was my understanding that in the substitute ordinance, it's just those properties who are interested in participating.
That's correct, yes.
So it's your property and the one to the south, and then the Vista Hospitality LLC that are actually going to be paying, and the others would not.
Yeah, the LID program is set up currently affects only people who volunteer to sign up for improvements.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll discuss that in greater detail when we get back, Andrew. Thank you for your testimony.
Next two are Laura Young and Jay Wilkins.
Economies of scale are not good, doing it half and half. Yeah, I don't necessarily like it. But... Hi, welcome. Is our other testifier here?
I believe he was the gentleman who testified earlier about the children's.
Oh, okay. Thing. Great. Well, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you. All right. This is my first attempt at this, so.
You just need to give us your name.
Good morning. My name is Laura Young, and I am here today to offer full support of the Cully Association of Neighbors in the adoption of the amended proposal for Northeast or Alberta Street Local Improvement District project. And I'm losing my voice, so I apologize. The amended proposal will allow the Cully neighborhood and surrounding communities to benefit from the tremendous generosity of the business owners who have agreed to provide funds to partially improve the street without imposing a financial burden on the homeowners on the south side of Alberta Street in the LID area. The amended proposal also presents the opportunity to improve livability for the entire community by providing a safe and accessible route through the neighborhood between 76th and 82nd Avenues, while allowing the homeowners on the south side of the street to benefit from the partial street improvement while retaining the right to opt out of paying for the improvements such as sidewalks and curbs for the north side property frontages. Again, the amended proposal will allow the homeowners to incur no costs if they choose to opt out of the improvements for the property frontages. In addition, the west end of the proposed LID area terminates at Sacagawea Park, one of only a few public recreation areas available to the community in Cully today. The park offers an off-leash dog area, dog park area, in addition to other amenities to be utilized by the community. Sacagawea Park is also adjacent to the Sacagawea Head Start campus, where approximately 140 preschool children attend and their families utilize the Head Start program on a daily basis during the school year. These families desperately need and are entitled to safe pedestrian routes to the school. The completion of the North Side Street improvement will provide the only paved route with a sidewalk to the park and the school east of 76th up to 82nd Avenue and south of Alberta to Prescott. In addition to the needs of the children and families, there is also a need to provide safe and reliable access to the neighborhood for police, fire, and medical services for the benefit of all members of the community. And with improvements already underway at the park in 2010, we may also expect more pedestrian traffic in the future and a need for more surveillance and accessibility to the park. In closing, I would request the council consider this unique opportunity a win-win solution for the community and the property owners to access desperately needed street improvements in Cully. Alternatively, if the proposal is not adopted, it might be years or even decades before the opportunity an opportunity like this presents itself again. Thank you for your time.
I did turn the page and see the substitute, so I move the substitute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any additional discussion from council?
I just wanted to thank Ms. Young for your letter and the record. That was very, very helpful, and you exemplify a neighborhood association land use volunteer who does really great work. Thank you.
Mayor, my understanding is the substitute exempts properties from assessment whose owners did not tender their petition, correct?
Correct. Carla, can you please call the vote on this motion to substitute?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute is approved. Can you please call the vote on the substituted resolution?
Saltzman?
Well, I'm very appreciative of the substitute in light of the testimony by both Alberta LLC and Ms. Southwick. I do think this represents a very generous willingness to move ahead with the LID, and I want to thank Mr. Yett for his initiative and his candor and making this happen in the neighborhood as well, the Cully Association neighborhood. So I'm pleased to vote aye. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
It was excellent. And first, thank you, Andrew Abbey, for your work on this. You always have good answers to my questions and prompt answers and very clear staff work. It was interesting in the record to see how the neighborhood association, the concerned neighbors, the property owners work together to figure out something which is manageable for everybody and still provides these much-needed improvements in Cully. And I think Mr. Yett made an excellent point about this: the current construction prices being less. So that, to me, is a good reason to move forward with this at this time. Aye.
Fish.
Andrew, thanks, as always, for a superb presentation. Very clear. And thanks to everyone who took time to come testify today and help us get it right. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this should be known as Yett's Way, because I've never seen anything like this. This is an incredible. This is informally, not an official street renaming. This is an amazing amount of generosity, and so thank you. Aye. Resolution is approved. We will, because we have federal delegates coming in for time certain at 10:30. I need to let folks know that we will have to interrupt consideration of 11:06 so that we can keep them on schedule. But let's begin by reading time certain item number 11:06.
Establish principles to guide public involvement in the development of policies, programs, and projects of the City of Portland.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
I am very happy to introduce this resolution by the Public Involvement Advisory Council that establishes principles to guide public involvement in the development of policies, programs, and projects of the City of Portland. Although staffed by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the PIAC, as we call it, belongs to the whole council. City Council created and inaugurated this advisory council in the fall of 2008. We appoint both community members from a broad range of backgrounds and city staff members from 13 different bureaus and charge them to work together to develop meaningful recommendations to help the city conduct more consistent and meaningful public involvement processes. And thank you, all of you who are here today, and thank you for your work on the committee. I apologize for the timeline of the council session going longer today and appreciate your patience and still being with us. So today, the Public Involvement Advisory Council returns to share with us the next step to fulfill the charge we gave them. I'm very pleased with how diligently this group has worked together and the participation of so many bureaus and community members working together. It exemplifies the principles of citizen involvement that we want to carry forward. And I'm pleased that a lot of the bureaus, and I know the council, are committed to working together to have tools that establish effective and consistent public involvement processes. So I invite to come forward three members of the Public Involvement Advisory Council: Allison Wisniewski, Linda Nedekoven, and Marty Stockton. And as we start, I'm going to give a shout out to Afifa Ahmed Shafi, who is our wonderful staff person in ONI, who works with this committee.
Hi, welcome to City Council. Glad you're here.
All right, good morning. I'm Allison Wisniewski, a recent graduate from Cleveland High School, an entering freshman at the University of Southern California, and finishing my first year-long term on Portland's Public Involvement Advisory Council as the youth representative. And joining me today are two other members, Linda Nedekoven, representing the Hand Neighborhood Association, and Mary Stockton, representing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. More background, PIAC was created 2 years ago as a response to the voiced need for greater quality and consistency of public involvement across city government. With PIAC, we are hoping to create a shift in mindset, emphasizing the importance of meaningful public involvement and working to create the resources our city needs to provide this improved public involvement. At this time, we are presenting the groundwork and planning continued support to city bureaus in engaging the public. PIAC is comprised of half city bureau members and half community members. 14 bureaus are represented on PIAC, and community positions range from representing neighborhood associations to minority groups to private businesses. We are here today to present for your approval a major step on the way to creating citywide guidelines that will help ensure quality public involvement across city government, the primary purpose for which you created the PIAC. We are asking for you to approve the resolution before you that will adopt new public involvement principles, indicators, and outcomes, and direct PIAC members to develop public involvement impact statement to accompany all future ordinances, resolutions, and reports that come before City Council, and a baseline assessment tool to begin to gather some basic information about public involvement policies and practices from all city bureaus. Appropriately, these public involvement principles are the product of extensive outreach to and input from community and bureau representatives on the PIAC, who worked collaboratively over the past 14 months on the principles we present to you today. Bureau leaders, yourselves and your staff, the International Association of Public Participation, and several community-based organizations, which Linda will speak to. I also want to acknowledge the extensive work of the PIAC members to get us to this point. A number of them are here today behind me. PIAC members, if you would stand, they're represented by their yellow name tags. We want to acknowledge them. And council members, I would also like to thank you for this opportunity to present you with the innovative work of the PIAC members, for your collaboration throughout our process, and for your ongoing support for this unique in-the-nation partnership between community members and government staff. I'd like to turn it over to Linda, who will now describe the proposed resolution and the public involvement principles, and later Marty will follow to describe the proposed public involvement impact statement and baseline assessment, and to inform you of some of the other projects PIAC is working on.
Thank you very much, Allison, for your work, and all the best when you go off to college.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. For the record, my name is Linda Nedekoven, and I'm a community member of the Public Involvement Advisory Council. The resolution that you have before you, spelling out our proposal for public involvement principles, is in response to the charge you've given us. And I'd like to take a moment to state the obvious, which is, as you well know, city government no longer can go it alone when it comes to solving the challenges and the problems that are facing our communities. We have individuals, you know, working alone or coming together collectively in groups who have a vast array of resources and talents and can add great value to the work of elected officials and city staff. Together, we can accomplish things that no one sector could accomplish. Therefore, the need is obvious for partnership and collaboration as we go forward. And the key to achieving and sustaining these kinds of partnerships and collaborations is quality public involvement. As the resolution